Today we're going to look at Bartimaeus, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. You'll find that in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And that'll be on page 1015. It begins on page 1015 in your pew Bibles. But I need to... So find that and keep a finger in it or stick it in the pew open like that. I need to give a bit of background, so it might be a while before I get to reading that, okay? But before we begin any of that, let's just pray for God's help. Father, help us to listen to your word. Help us to think our way into it, to try and hear what you're saying to us. And Father, please help me to be faithful to its message and not to add my own little agendas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this is the Sunday before Palm Sunday, which is when we celebrate the triumphal entry. That's Palm Sunday, when Jesus came to Jerusalem. So what happened just before that? That's what I want to look at today. So that's why we're looking at blind Bartimaeus and his healing, because this is immediately followed by the triumphal entry in Mark's Gospel. There's something about Mark's Gospel is that you can split it up into two parts, really. And the first part looks at Jesus' identity, who he is. So you see Jesus forgiving people, performing great miracles, casting out demons, and the reaction to this is usually, who is this? And then one day, Jesus takes his disciples aside and he asks them, who do people say that I am? So I'm going to read just that little bit where Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? It's in Mark chapter 8. It's just a short little bit here. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This is at the end of the first part of Mark's Gospel, where the disciples get who Jesus is. The disciples get that Jesus is the Messiah, God's anointed king, the one that they've all been waiting for. But they have yet to realize what exactly that means. So from that point on, Jesus starts to plainly tell them that he will be rejected and killed and that he'll rise again. And this is all part of the plan. So part two of Mark's Gospel, which follows this confession of Peter, is about Jesus as the suffering Messiah and about the cost of following him. What sort of king is Jesus? And what does it mean to follow him? The passage that we're looking at about Bartimaeus is found in part two of Mark's Gospel, where we learn what sort of king Jesus is and what it's like to follow him. So the Messiah, the one that the people have all been waiting for, has traveled all over the country preaching and healing and performing miracles and calling his followers, and now they're on their way to Jerusalem, where something big is going to happen. But what? Will Israel be restored like the good old days, no longer under the thumb of the Roman Empire? Will they have a king again like David? Or something else? Jesus says he'll be betrayed and killed and then rise again. But is he serious? Surely the Messiah, God's anointed king, will be a great warrior like David. Surely this man who can even tell the wind and the waves to be still and they obey him, will have no problem putting the Romans in their place. So even though Jesus is now telling his apostles that he's going to be betrayed and that he's going to be killed and that he's going to rise again, they're a bit slow to get it. They don't understand. If you watch The Simpsons, trust me, this has something to do with Bartimaeus. I'll get around to it. If you watch The Simpsons, and I'm talking about the good Simpsons more than 10 years ago before it turned bad, in my opinion, there was an episode where Bart wanted to join the Boy Scouts, and he wanted to get a pocket knife. But in order to get that pocket knife, he had to read a book. And the book was called The 10 Do's and 500 Don'ts of Knife Safety. And there was a character in the book called Donnie Don't. And the section in the book was called Don't Do What Donnie Don't Does. Basically, Donnie Don't is an idiot. He uses his pocket knife to brush his teeth. He puts it in a slingshot to fire it at his cat. He does terrible things with his pocket knife. But what's that got to do with Bartimaeus? Well, another feature of Mark's gospel is that the apostles, the leaders of the early church, the source of the accounts found in Mark's gospel, because Mark was an associate of Peter, well, in Mark's gospel, they look really stupid sometimes, a lot of the time. They're constantly getting it wrong. Sometimes the apostles in Mark's gospel look very Donnie Don't-like and not very Christ-like. And one of the biggest Donnie Don't moments in the gospel of Mark happens just before our story about Bartimaeus. See, Jesus takes the 12 apostles aside and he tells them that he's going to be killed. He's going to be betrayed and killed and rise again. And then this happens in verses 35 to 37 of chapter 10. So just above what we're going to look at today. This is what happens. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." See, James and John think things are going to be great. Jesus is going to be king. They'll have a very, very powerful friend. Jesus has explained that he is going to die to save his followers and that he'll rise again. And James and John respond by grasping for power, looking for their own glory. And it gets worse then, because the other disciples hear about this and they all fall out. So Jesus has to tell his disciples, the future leaders of the church, who have been with him for the last few years, that things shouldn't be that way among them. Nobody should be greedy for power and glory. Those who wish to be first must put themselves last. Those who wish to lead must serve. They must be humble. They must not think too much of themselves. And that's when they come to Bartimaeus, a blind beggar sitting by the roadside. And this man shows us what discipleship is like. Excuse me. So I hope you understand why I had to give that big long introduction there. But now we're going to read verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road at the gate of Jericho, as he does most days. He sits begging because he can't work. Nowadays in our society, if you're visually impaired, you can still work and you can still have a very high quality of life. But it wasn't like that for Bartimaeus. He sits and he begs and he waits for passers-by to take pity on him and give him some coins. And along comes this great crowd. And I love how Mark phrases things here right at the beginning. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. They came, they're leaving. Mark just skips over whatever might have happened in Jericho. It's like he hits the fast forward button. Because I think he wants us to show us that this crowd is on the move. They bustle past Bartimaeus, and someone must have let him know that this was Jesus of Nazareth that they were all following. And what Bartimaeus does next will change his life forever. You see, he could choose to go on doing what he always does, and with such a large crowd, he may in fact do quite well begging that day. Or in a split second, everything could change. Bartimaeus can't see, but he can hear, and he has heard the word about Jesus of Nazareth, and he's had time to sit and think about Jesus. God has been using those rumors that he's heard and the thoughts that he's been having, and he's been working on Bartimaeus in his heart and his mind. Bartimaeus has weighed up the stories about Jesus in his mind, and he's come to a conclusion. This is the Son of David, the promised one, God's anointed king, the Messiah. Bartimaeus can't see Jesus. He can't confidently walk up to Jesus just like James and John did. But he can make a scene. He can do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. So he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus might be physically blind, but he can see who Jesus is. He knows he's the son of David, the son of King David. This is a royal title, a messianic title. So people tell Bartimaeus to be quiet. He's making a scene. He's embarrassing himself and others. They don't have time for him. They're on business. They're heading to Jerusalem. But Bartimaeus has the kind of faith in Jesus that will not be silenced. He will not be quiet. He desperately needs to get to Jesus. Everything depends on it. That's true for all of us, but Bartimaeus can see it clearly. Jesus isn't just someone who can do him a favor, make his life a little bit better. He desperately needs to get to Jesus. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I find it so heartbreaking and honestly so frustrating. The times when I have a friend who shows some interest in Jesus, some curiosity, the hint of a desire to know him more. But then some distraction will pop up, or their friends might think them a bit weird with all this religious stuff. Or worst of all, someone in the church is rude to them and they have no time for their questions and they give up. They go back to whatever it was that occupied their time, as if Bartimaeus just kept on blindly begging by the roadside, going back to just getting by. So I want to encourage you all and myself to be desperate to get to Jesus in the same way that Bartimaeus was desperate. Don't let anything hold you back, because he's not just someone who can do you a few favors, make your life better. He's the Savior, the rescuer, the one who died to save us, the one who rose again to give us new life, the one who set us free from sin and death. Bartimaeus didn't shut up. He didn't stop crying out. So here's what happened. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus calls, and suddenly the crowd changes its tune. Now it's all, "Good news, get up, he's calling you." When they realize that Jesus wants him, suddenly they want him too. They have time for him. But wouldn't it be great if the church treated everyone like that? As if everyone who walked through the doors of a church was called there by Jesus. As if everyone who Christians come into contact in our daily lives, everyone we have the chance to do good to and to show love to share Jesus with, as if they were put in our path by Jesus. We need to realize that Jesus wants those the world does not want. Jesus wants those that we find it hard to want. Jesus wants people who are not like us just as much as he wants people who are like us. Whoever you are, if you want to get to Jesus, he has time for you. If you've been calling out desperately to Jesus, then take heart. Get up. He is calling you. So Bartimaeus springs up. He throws off his cloak. He doesn't need his cloak anymore. He's going to go to Jesus. He casts off all that would hold him back. Sarah and I haven't been to Jericho, but we've been to Jerusalem. We've been close by. Jerusalem's about 15 miles from Jericho, I think, which is like from here to the center of Dublin as the crow flies, something like that. And I can tell you that in that area, if you're sitting by the road in the daytime, you don't need a cloak to keep you warm. At night you'd need it, but not during the day. Bartimaeus probably has had his cloak in front of him or on the ground or over his feet to collect change, like a busker collects change in a guitar case. But when Jesus calls, none of that matters. Forget the cloak, forget the change, forget everything else. Jesus has called. So let nothing stop you from getting to Jesus. Let nothing hold you back from following him. Bartimaeus gets to Jesus, and he stands blindly in front of him. And here's another reason I give you that long introduction. The language here is very similar to James and John's request. We're meant to see the contrast. James and John has shown us the Donnie Don't way of doing things, how not to treat Jesus. So compare it. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you," with Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside crying out for mercy. In both situations, Jesus responds by asking what the request is. "What is it you want me to do for you?" to James and John. "What do you want me to do for you?" to Bartimaeus. James and John try to grasp for power in Jesus' kingdom. They try to call shotgun. You know what that means. Get the best seat in the car. They want positions of power and authority. Bartimaeus just wants to see again. He left the roadside to come to Jesus. He left his cloak and his begging behind him. And now he wants to be able to leave that behind for good. He makes a humble request for help, for mercy, for freedom from the blindness that has kept him by the side of the road, begging. Verse 51. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Do you see the difference in the way that James and John treat Jesus and the way that Bartimaeus treats Jesus. Instead of James and John, two of the key apostles giving us the good example of discipleship, they're completely shown up by a blind beggar who they would have just walked past. Now, I don't want to be too hard on James and John. They did turn out very well in the end. And let me just dismount my high horse here. God knows I'm an absolute mess of a disciple myself, sometimes, a lot of the time. But James and John once knew what it was like to be desperate for Jesus the way that Bartimaeus was. One day a few years previously, the young brothers, James and John, were in their dad's boat fixing the nets, working for the family business. And Jesus called to them, and they dropped everything and left to follow him. They know what it's like to do what Bartimaeus just did, to spring up, to cast off the old and come to Jesus. Discipleship has its ups and downs, and we caught James and John at a bit of a low point. The excitement of following God's anointed king into Jerusalem went to their heads. It changed the way they saw Jesus. And that can happen to us all. We forget how desperately we need Jesus, and we end up treating him like a powerful friend, the guy who can fix things for us. Do you know the film Shawshank Redemption? It's a great film. Morgan Freeman plays this guy in it called Red. It's set in a prison. And if you're in Shawshank Prison and you want something, you go to Red. He's the guy to talk to. He'll get you a chessboard or some rope or cigarettes or a giant poster of Rita Hayworth. He sorts things out. He gets things done. He makes life in prison a little bit better. I think we're inclined to treat Jesus like that. Like he's there to make life a little bit better. But Jesus is not Red. Jesus does not make life in prison a bit better. Jesus gives us our freedom. He took our place. He paid for our crimes. He busted us out of prison. And he calls us now to live free following him. So are you acting like a prisoner looking for favors, or are you living free in Christ? Do you want Jesus to make your life a little bit better, a bit more pleasant? Or do you want him to change everything? We saw the kind of faith that Bartimaeus had when he cried out to Jesus and wouldn't let anything stop him. We saw his faith when he leapt up and came to Jesus. We saw his faith in the humble request he asked of Jesus. And we see his faith again in what happens. So this is what happens next, verse 52. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus can see, and he's free to go and live his life. So many things that he can do and see now. But Bartimaeus is content with the view of the back of Jesus' head, or the dust kicked up by his sandals on the road to Jerusalem. That's Bartimaeus' call in life now, to follow Jesus. And there is nothing in the world he would rather be looking at. This is the kind of faith that discipleship is all about. So, let nothing stop you from getting to Jesus. Don't let him pass by without calling out. Don't be put off by anyone else. Focus on Jesus and getting to him. Do you hear Jesus calling to you? Are you ready to forget yourself and follow him? It will mean sacrifice and repentance. It will mean casting off the old and relying on Jesus to help you live this new life. Or maybe you today identify more with the crowd. It's been a while since you heard him call you. Do you remember what that was like? To feel that desperate need to get to Jesus, to be ready to just leave whatever, just to get to him and follow him. But maybe now things are a bit normal. Jesus is now just the guy who does you favors. Jesus is not that guy. Jesus is your savior, your rescuer, your liberator, your king. So remember his call on your life. Bartimaeus is a good example, but I don't want you to go away thinking that the answer for you is to just try really hard to be like Bartimaeus. I don't want you to just see Bartimaeus. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see Jesus the same way that Bartimaeus saw him. I want you to see him as the Messiah, God's merciful King, who gave himself as a ransom for us. We don't need a good example. We need a Savior. What we see in the story of Bartimaeus is someone who has desperately sought their Savior, someone who would leave everything to follow him. Someone, and this is another characteristic of Mark's gospel, it's full of irony. What you see in blind Bartimaeus is someone who sees clearly what Jesus is like.